Prayers for anxiety, assurance, forgiveness, plagues, sickness. The Issues, Etc. Book of the Month for April contains more than 500 prayers that cover almost any situation. It's titled Lutheran Prayer Companion. Browse before you buy at issuesetc.org or find out more and purchase Lutheran Prayer Companion by calling Concordia Publishing House weekdays during regular business hours, 1-800-325-3040. The Issues, Etc. Book of the Month for April, Lutheran Prayer Companion.
Mr. President, St. Paul in the Bible exhorts us to pray for our leaders, and that we do every Sunday.
Isn't it ironic? Today we have some human being that's supposedly supposed to show that we're primitive and ape men, named after a man who apparently understood the creative work of God in creating us and everything else.
Theologians are not theoretical physicists. We're not looking for new ways of understanding what God has revealed. We know what He has revealed. So creativity's great. Novelty, no.
When you wait, then there's two ways that you can wait. You can wait with fretting, or we wait with this sort of expectant, hey, it's not my job to decide when this is up. It'll be up when it's up. That's God's decision and His rule.
Missouri dairy farmers love Issues, Etc.
The New Testament book of Acts is an interesting story. Starts out, well, it starts out the way that the authors gospel ends. The author is St. Luke, and it ends with the ascension of Jesus into heaven. Then Acts begins with Jesus' ascension into heaven. There are things that are repeated in the book of Acts, not once, not twice, but three times. If we look carefully at those things that are so often repeated in this simple telling of the story of the apostles and the spread of God's word and the growth of His church in the first century or so, we might discern a theme. Greetings and welcome back to Issues Etc. live this Tuesday afternoon, the 28th of April. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. We'll begin a series on the study of the book of Acts. Today, the theme of Acts. Dr. Ken Sherb will be our guest. Then, Chaplain Craig Mueller will join us. He is LSMS Director of Ministry to the Armed Forces. We'll talk about a Associated Press story titled Military Chaplains Pivot to Serve Soldiers in Virus Outbreak. Joining us to begin our study of the book of Acts and talk about the theme in this book, Dr. Ken Sherb. He has a PhD in church history from Ohio State University. He's director of evangelism and missions, stewardship and human care for the Central Illinois District of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, formerly served as a theology professor at Concordia University, Ann Arbor, Michigan, and as an assistant to the president of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. He'll be leading a virtual Bible study beginning May 4th, called The Beginning of the Gospel to the Ends of the Earth, Paul's Missionary Journeys. Ken, welcome back to Issues, Etc.
Good to talk to you, Todd.
Acts is a pretty big map. It covers a lot of stuff. How do you even begin to determine a theme of the book?
Well, it's always an interesting question how you determine the theme of any book. I mean, any book at all. I remember having a discussion with a college professor some years ago, and he said that even in teaching first-year graduate students in history, they had a hard time teasing out the theme of certain history books that they were reading. I mean, they liked the book, they knew a lot of information that was contained in the book, but in terms of really saying, okay, here's what the author is trying to do, here's the point that he's really trying to prove, that was a slippery thing for first-year graduate students. So it's always a challenge. It's a challenge in a book like Acts, because Acts just seems to be a sort of a straightforward account. This thing happened, then that other thing happened, and oh yeah, that over there, that happened next. Just one event after another. So how do you make some sense of this whole thing? Well, one of the basic ways to determine theme in any kind of a writing, or a speech for that matter, is what gets repeated? What comes up again and again and again? If a writer or a speaker is coming back to some point repeatedly, that is a pretty good indication that he really wants to mark that. He really wants you to come away with a good sense of that. And we are well served by the book of Acts in this regard, because there are two events that Acts records repeatedly. And I mean records in some detail. It would be easy to say, okay, this happened, and then the next time you want to make reference to it, just do the modern equivalent of give a footnote and say, see back in chapter so-and-so. But in Acts, you find the story being told again in a little bit different way, but it's obviously the same story, and it's obviously being told again. And this is particularly remarkable in a writing of the ancient world, because, frankly, it was expensive to write in the ancient world. The materials for writing didn't come cheap, and they especially didn't come cheap if you were going to copy a book. If a book was going to appear in multiple copies, it had to be copied by hand. And that meant you were paying not only for the materials, you were paying for the labor. Somebody was going to have to sit there and write out every word by hand. It got to be an involved process. So it would have made a lot of sense in some ways for Luke, writing Acts by inspiration, to say, and here, just see what I told you before. But no, he gives you the account again. So these two events that are repeated in the book of Acts are going to tell us a great deal about the theme of Acts. They may not give us the whole story about the theme, but they're going to tell us a whole lot about the theme.
So what are the two events, and how do they relate to one another?
Well, the first, as a matter of fact, when they're introduced, they're in back-to-back chapters in Acts, so that makes it kind of handy. Acts 9 tells us, for most of it, the story of the conversion of Saul of Tarsus, who, of course, becomes St. Paul. Then in chapter 10, you have the incident of Peter and the family of Cornelius. Now, both of these events, different as they are and involving two different men, two different apostles, Paul and Peter, do have at least a couple of huge things in common. First of all, mission to the Gentiles. And second, just to let the cat out of the bag early, justification by grace for Christ's sake through faith. So two events told three times each, and they have two things in common.
Okay, let's start with the conversion of Saul of Tarsus. And it really does impress me, Ken, when you say they're told three times each, especially, as you said, given the economy of writing in those days, he really must want us to focus on these things. Let's begin with Paul's conversion.
Yeah, Paul's conversion is told at first by Luke in sort of narrative form in chapter 9. But then it's repeated as Paul is, first of all, talking to an angry mob on the steps of the temple in chapter 22. He tells the story again, and Luke records what he told. And then in chapter 26, when he's on trial, he tells it again, and Luke records it again. This story is obviously ripe with implications for mission to the Gentiles because, well, God himself summed it up. When he told Ananias to baptize Saul, he said, "This one is my chosen vessel to carry my name before the nations," most translations will tell us, but it's really the ethne in Greek, the Gentiles. And that makes perfect sense, doesn't it, in light of everything we know about Paul? He was the 13th apostle. I mean, there had been 12. Judas killed himself, and then Matthias was chosen to replace him, bringing the number back to 12, which was perfectly appropriate as long as you were thinking in terms of the good news going out to Israel, 12 tribes, 12 sons of Jacob, and all that stuff. But now, the news is going even further than that. You can't just have 12. You've got number 13 now, Paul. When Paul was facing that angry mob in Jerusalem, he said that the Lord had told him after his conversion, "Go, I will send you far off to the Gentiles. And when he was telling the story to that angry mob, that was kind of the last straw for them. They just revolted and broke out into their mob behavior all over again, quit listening to him because they thought, oh, no, not the Gentiles. And yet that was very much on Paul's mind later on. He writes to the Ephesians, but now in Christ Jesus, you, the primarily Gentile church at Ephesus, you who were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. Paul threw himself into his calling as the apostle to the Gentiles with great vigor. He said, I am the apostle to the Gentiles and I magnify my ministry. He wrote that to the Romans. He talked to the Galatians about how he agreed with the so-called pillars of the Jerusalem church, James and Peter and John, that he, Paul, and his associates would go to the Gentile world while they would concentrate on the Jewish world. So Paul, who had been so eager once to travel to faraway places and persecute Christians, was now eager to go to faraway places like even Spain in the service of Christ and to bring the gospel.
We're beginning a series on studying the book of Acts. Today, the theme of Acts. Dr. Ken Sherb is our guest. That's Paul. What about Peter and Cornelius and that account?
This week on The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, we'll wrap up Hebrews with the shepherd of the sheep. And begin Romans, the obedience of faith, mutual faith strengthened, not ashamed of the gospel, and the revelation of wrath. Join me, Pastor Will Whedon, for The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, your daily 15-minute verse-by-verse Bible study on demand at thewordendures.org and on the Lutheran Public Radio app.
Throughout the 50 days of Easter, sacred music for the world. LutheranPublicRadio.org. Listen 24/7 to sacred music for the Easter season. LPR, LutheranPublicRadio.org.
Still proclaiming the Word of God during a global pandemic, you're listening to Issues Etc.
Silicon Valley is a place of cutting-edge innovation which radically changes lives, where science fiction is already in research and development. In the heart of this digital chaos is a sanctuary of constancy and reverence, Hope Lutheran in Fremont, where nothing is new under the California sun, where the timeless gospel is proclaimed and the sacrament is celebrated with the historic liturgy that truly changes lives. And thanks to Silicon Valley, you may find us on the web at hopelutheranfremont.org.
Your church Easter egg hunt has been cancelled. But that doesn't mean there aren't wonderful treasures to be discovered at Ad Crucem. Celebrate your child's confirmation with Lutheran certificates, necklaces, and memory boxes, and wish all your loved ones a joyous, if socially distanced, Eastertide with our Christ-focused greeting cards. Put what you believe, teach, and confess on display with our Apostles' Creed, Nicene Creed, and Athanasian Creed. Visit adcrucem.com. That's adcrucem.com.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're talking about the theme of the Book of Acts, beginning a Studies in Acts series with Dr. Ken Sherb. He'll be leading a virtual Bible study beginning May 4th, titled Bringing the Gospel to the Ends of the Earth, Paul's Missionary Journeys. It's easy to lose track of time during the shutdowns and the social distancing, wondering what day of the week it is, if you don't have a reason to count the days of the week, even if it's Sunday or Saturday, maybe even the course of the church year. One of the things that the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for April, Lutheran Prayer Companion, does is help you keep track of the time. It's deeply embedded in the seasons of the church year, in the church year's Sundays, in the lectionary, all those things where the church is keeping time while the world may be forgetting what day of the week it is. So praying through Lutheran Prayer Companion will be helpful for you to mark time in times like these. Find out more about the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for April, Lutheran Prayer Companion. It's at our website, issuesetc.org, or call Concordia Publishing House and order it, 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040. So, Ken, we talked about Paul being sent by Jesus to the Gentile world. What about the Peter and Cornelius account?
Well, pretty obviously, the family of Cornelius was Gentile. They were not Jewish. They weren't even Jewish proselytes. They were Romans. Maybe they were God-fearing Romans, but they were Romans all the same. They weren't even Samaritans. I mean, you had, like, in the 8th chapter of Acts, the account of Philip going to the Samaritans. And remember, the book had begun with Jesus saying, you will take the good news to Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. Well, Peter and Cornelius, this is definitely going to the ends of the earth, because these people, as I say, are Romans. And shucks, there was all sorts of reasons why Peter might have just said no when Cornelius sent his little band of representatives to go and fetch him at the seaport city of Joppa. But God had prepared Peter ahead of time with a vision. And so Peter did not do what another messenger of God in the Old Testament, Jonah, had done. He was in the same city, Joppa, and of course he gets on a ship and he sails the other way. Rather than go to the Gentiles in Nineveh and speak the word to them, Jonah just goes in exactly the opposite direction. And for anybody in the first century knowing something about that Old Testament history, reading now the book of Acts and hearing the account of Peter, and he's in this same place, Joppa, it's kind of a white-knuckle moment. Is he going to do that? Well, no, he didn't, because the Lord had prepared him with that vision of all the unclean animals. And he says, Peter, kill and eat. And Peter says, no, God forbid. And the Lord says, no, what God calls clean, you don't go calling unclean. And just in case Peter had any nagging doubts when he got to the house of Cornelius, he discovers that when he gets there, Cornelius has had a vision in which Cornelius was instructed to send these men to get Peter, and knowing exactly where he was there in Joppa. So the idea of mission to the Gentiles comes up all over again. Peter reports, when he is called on the carpet about this back in Jerusalem in Acts 11, that the Holy Spirit fell on the family of Cornelius, just as upon us in the beginning. God gave the same gift to them as to us. This was the Lord's way of saying, yes, absolutely, mission to the Gentiles, you're going in the right direction.
I am struck by the parallels between these two accounts. I mean, and it's not just Luke's literary telling of the story, but the actual accounts themselves, the events parallel themselves. There's a vision given to the would-be, or in this case already, apostle from Christ. In Paul's case, it's a blinding vision. And then the road is prepared for them by a vision given to someone at the other end, in Paul's case, Ananias, and in this case, the family of Cornelius.
Yeah. And of course, that's a way of saying that the theology in this case, the message, is built into the events. God not only inspired Luke to write it, he was also at work in the events themselves. Luke didn't really have to embellish at all in order for this to come through.
Does it also indicate that it is Christ who is directing the beginning of this mission work toward the Gentile nations?
Sure. And that's evident all the way through the book of Acts. It's certainly evident in the account of Paul's missionary journeys themselves, how the Lord is constantly calling the shots. He's really the one who is putting them in the right place at the right time, all the time.
So if you would connect the two events that are repeated again and again in the book of Acts in a clear way, so that we understand what it is this theme is going to be for the reader of Acts.
Well, the first aspect is mission to the Gentiles, but the second aspect that we haven't even touched yet, and it's really kind of the other side of the coin, isn't it, of mission to the Gentiles, is justification by grace for Christ's sake through faith. See, both of these events are not only filled with implications for that first thing, mission to the Gentiles, that we've been talking about already, but also with justification by grace implications. Because Well, why in the world would a guy like Saul of Tarsus, how could a guy like Saul of Tarsus be welcome in the Church of Jesus Christ, of which he was a hater and an absolute persecutor, going to the lengths of violence against the church? What would make him welcome unless there was something like the full and free forgiveness of sins on account of Christ? So it's definitely a story about justification. Paul wrote later on to the Philippians that he was circumcised on the eighth day of the nation of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of the Hebrews, as to the law, a Pharisee, as to zeal, a persecutor of the church, as to righteousness which comes about in the law, blameless. But, he goes on, the various things in which I was coming out ahead, I came to think of as one great big loss on account of Christ. Indeed, I go on considering them as a loss because of what surpasses them, the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord. On account of him, I have lost all things. I regard them as repugnant rubbish in order that I might gain Christ and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which proceeds from the law, but righteousness through faith in Christ, the kind that comes from God by faith. That's how Paul eventually came to look upon his pre-conversion self and now his post-conversion, his Christian self. And of course, to Timothy, he puts it much more briefly. He says, I had been a blasphemer, a persecutor, an insolent person, but the grace of our God overflowed with faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. And he says, it's worthy of all acceptation, this saying. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am number one. So the Christ who went to the cross, who bore the sins of all the world, was also bearing the sins of Paul, taking them all away, nailing them to the cross, and leaving them there when he rose from the dead. That's justification. That's reconciliation with God. That's forgiveness. That's be starting over with a clean slate. And it's all by the grace of God, and it's received not by works, but by faith. Yes, Acts, as it completely is devoted to telling the story of Paul, and Paul continues to tell the story of how he was converted, is all in on justification by grace through faith.
I wanted you to talk about two more things. The first is, I think you wanted to say something about progress reports in the book of Acts.
Yeah, hang on, Todd. I'm not done with the stories here because we haven't talked about Peter and Cornelius and justification.
Oh, that's right.
We
have to get back to Peter and Cornelius.
Yeah. Now, that story is interesting in this regard for two reasons. The emphasis on justification begins early on in the story before Peter ever laid eyes on Cornelius. It started when that sheet came down from heaven and the ceremonially unclean animals came out. And God tells Peter what God calls clean, you don't call unclean. And that point really goes back to Jesus himself, who said that it's not the things that go into a man that defile him, it's the things that come out of a man. And Mark, when he records that, says that Jesus was declaring all foods clean. Well, indeed he was. And he was going to have to pay for things like that, for saying things like that, not just because people would get mad at him and eventually kill him, although that is what happened kind of on a human level, but also because this was exactly what God wanted. God wanted Jesus to go to the cross. It wasn't really people who put him there in the final analysis. It was God who put him there to fulfill the law and pay for the sins of the whole world. This was something no mere man could do, but the man who was also God, yeah, absolutely, he could do it, and he did it. And then later on in the story of Peter and Cornelius, when the Holy Spirit is outpoured on these Gentiles, and they even speak in strange and unknown languages like at Pentecost, Peter is noticing that fact. And while he's still speaking, the Word comes to them and the Spirit comes to them as in the case of Pentecost, in an observable, noticeable way. Now, this is important because as Paul eventually wrote to the Galatians, he said, did you receive the Spirit by works of the law or by hearing with faith? Well, these people obviously had not received the Spirit by works of the law because they were Gentiles. They hadn't been following the Old Testament law. They hadn't even been attempting to do so. It was very obvious that they received the Spirit by hearing with faith. Again, it's a gift. It's justification by grace through faith.
We're talking about the theme of the book of Acts in our series, Studies in Acts. Dr. Ken Sherb is our guest. When we come back, I want to talk about Peter's response. I perceive that God shows no partiality.
I've written a column for the latest Issues Etc. journal titled Closed Communion, Biblical, Historical, Lutheran, and Loving. We'll send it to you for free. Just click the red journal subscription button in the right-hand column at issuesetc.org. In the Wittenberg Trail feature, Dr. Nancy Almodovar writes about her journey from the profound doubt produced by her former Calvinist beliefs to the absolute certainty of Lutheran theology. The free online Issues Etc. journal, issuesetc.org.
Have you ever wondered if your investments could do more? I mean, a whole lot more? This is Rahema Kavuga, Synod Relations Manager of Lutheran Church Extension Fund. When you invest with us, you not only earn a competitive interest rate, but your investment goes to strengthen Lutheran Church Missouri Synod church workers, congregations, schools, and organizations through low-cost loans and services. To learn more, visit lcef.org/invest101.
Looking for a foreign language program that will revolutionize your students' vocabulary knowledge and their understanding of grammar? How about a program that teaches critical thinking skills, too? Look no further than Memoria Press's Latin curriculum. Students of all ages can use these Latin study programs. Give your students the gift of Latin today. To order, visit memoriapress.com and save $5 on your next order by using the coupon code LPR20. Memoria Press, saving Western civilization one student at a time.
College Preparation Station in Maryville, Illinois offers ACT, SAT, and PSAT test prep, scholarship application classes, college and career counseling, and more. Hi, this is Lori Konski, president of College Preparation Station. We have helped our students obtain more than $7 million in tuition scholarships in 12 years. Find out more at cpsprep.com. Let us help you create a vision and find your future. The College Preparation Station in Maryville, Illinois, cpsprep.com.
Casting Christ's net on the internet. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Our school is committed to authentic Lutheranism, the entire Book of Concord, and indeed to authentic Lutheranism as it has continued to be confessed and practiced through the centuries right up into our own time.
Dr. Cameron McKenzie, chairman of the Department of Historical Theology at Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana.
We're committed then to biblical, confessional Christianity and Lutheranism and applying it to the world of today in as effective a way as we can.
You can find out more about studying for the pastoral ministry at Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana, at ctsfw.edu, ctsfw.edu, or call 1-800-481-2155, Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana.
In the latest Issues Etc. journal, I have written an article that I've been wanting to write for a long time. For years, I didn't write it because I didn't really believe it. And then, when I believed it, I started thinking carefully about the subject of closed communion. Is it actually biblical? Well, yes, it is. Is it actually the historical practice of the church? Of course it is. Is it a Lutheran practice? Indeed, there's no doubt about that. But finally, is it loving? That's usually the reason most people shy away from closed communion. Well, it turns out it's the most loving thing you can do. You can read all about closed communion, biblical, historical, Lutheran, and loving in the latest online Issues Etc. journal. It's absolutely free. Subscribe at our website, issuesetc.org. There's a red subscription button. Click on that, enter your email address, and we'll send you the Latest Issues, Etc. journal online and absolutely free. We're talking about the theme of the Book of Acts. Dr. Ken Cherb is our guest. So, Ken, you were talking before about how the Holy Spirit came upon these Gentiles in the house of Cornelius in the sight of St. Peter, and that it was justification by grace through faith. I'm interested in Peter's response. He says, "I perceive that God shows no partiality." That seems to be a pretty big understatement, since he's perceiving that God wants to save the entire Gentile world too.
Yeah, well, and it is a kind of an understatement, but boy, in effect, the Book of Acts, as it plays out from that point, is just giving you the more complete description of what is understated in that one passage, because the message is going out to people all over the place. So you have this real symmetry. Like I said, two sides of the same coin. On the one hand, mission to the Gentiles is possible, but it's only possible because there is forgiveness for everybody, because Christ made an extensively and intensively perfect sacrifice for the sins of the world, as is shown by God when he raises him from the dead.
So what of those progress reports?
Yeah, one other element that is repeated in Acts is the periodic, you might call them progress reports, as Luke just sort of sums up what has been happening as he's been writing for a few chapters and says, okay, if you wanted to add all this up, what's been going on? The first of these comes in chapter 6, verse 7. It says, "And the word of God increased, and the number of disciples multiplied in Jerusalem greatly, and a great number of priests were obedient to the faith." In these progress reports, you're going to find that either the word of God is mentioned or the church of God is mentioned. This first one in chapter 6, verse 7, talks about the word increasing and the number of the disciples multiplying. Well, the next one is in chapter 9, verse 31. It says, "Then had the churches rest throughout all Judea and Galilee and Samaria, and were edified, and walking in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Spirit, they were multiplied." That's talking about the churches. Then the next one is in chapter 12, verse 24. "But the word of the Lord grew and multiplied." The word grew and multiplied, Luke puts it. Chapter 16, verse 5. "And so were the churches established in the faith and increased in number daily." That's talking about the churches. And then chapter 19, verse 20, when Paul's in Ephesus, "So mightily grew the word of God and prevailed." Now, in both of these, you have a tremendous emphasis upon the word and the church. And as I say, it kind of alternates back and forth. In one, the emphasis is on the church, and in another, the emphasis is on the word. Luther put it this way. He said, "God's people cannot be without God's word, and God's word cannot be without God's people." God's people cannot be without God's word because that's their lifeline. They're not going to stay God's people very long if they don't constantly have recourse to God's word. And at the same time, God's word does not return void, as he himself assures us through Isaiah. It is going to bear fruit. It is going to do that for which he sent it. So God's word is going to be bringing about a people. You see that here too. So if you put all this together, we've got the big emphasis through the repeated events, which are the conversion of Saul and the episode with Peter and Cornelius. And what we see as a common element in those two is mission to the Gentiles and justification by grace through faith. So mission to the Gentiles and justification are going to be big in Acts. Huge clue to the theme just right there from those incidents. Then you take and you put upon that the overlay of these summary statements that are throughout the book, and you see that there is a great emphasis in Acts on the word of God and on the church of God. And these are not at all incompatible. It's through the word that God brings about justification in the lives of people. The Holy Spirit working through that word, creating his church, and creating it wherever the word goes, even among Gentiles. That is basically what the Book of Acts is all about.
Is it also about the early Christians, the church, even the apostles themselves, struggling with the Gentile question? What do we do with these Gentiles that the Holy Spirit is bringing to the same faith that we have in one Jesus Christ?
Well, the church has its marching orders, as it were, even before the narrative in Acts begins. You get it at the end of really all the Gospels. And since we're thinking particularly of Luke, when we're thinking about Acts, yeah, at the end of the book of Luke, Jesus talks about how repentance and forgiveness of sins is going to be preached in his name to all the nations. And then at the beginning of Acts, right before he ascends, the last thing Jesus says is, "You will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." You would think that it would be pretty clear, and yet, seven chapters into Acts, a quarter of the way through the book, everything happening is still happening in Jerusalem. It took the outbreak of persecution, that persecution that Saul of Tarsus was very much instrumental in when Stephen was stoned, to force the church out of Jerusalem, to force people to places, well, eventually like Antioch of Syria, where they began telling the good news also to Gentiles. And of course, once the good news was told to Gentiles in a strategically located place like Antioch of Syria, located up there at the corner of the Mediterranean, that northeast corner, a center of travel and communication and commerce, you couldn't keep the message pent up there if you wanted to. It was going to go out from that point. But yeah, you're absolutely right, Todd. You see it in Peter, in his reactions with the family of Cornelius. The church had to constantly be given these little nudges by the Lord. And that's what you see very much, especially in the early chapters of Acts, is the Lord nudging the church in this direction. And of course, right in the middle of the book of Acts, sort of holding pride of place almost at that center point, is the Apostolic Council, which makes it very clear, yes, Gentiles can be brought into the church, and they don't have to become Jews first. Justification by grace as the foundation for mission to the Gentiles.
Then put it all together for us. What is the theme of the book of Acts?
Through the Word, God creates his church. And the Word is the word of justification, which brings about conversion even of the Gentiles.
Ken, you're going to begin a daily virtual Bible study of Acts beginning on the 4th of May. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, Concordia Publishing House is actually very generously releasing a Bible study, a video Bible study that I did in their studio, about 6 months ago. And it's been actually available for purchase by people since about the beginning of this year. But what they're going to do is they're going to take this six-lesson Bible study and release it for free, little bit by little bit, Monday through Friday. Each lesson has, 5 to 7 minute segments in which I talk and explain something about Paul's missionary journeys. The whole thing's on Paul's missionary journeys in Acts. And I'm going to talk for about 5 minutes and then end with a study question each day, Monday through Friday. And in a week's time, you'll get to see that whole lesson of the course, little bit by little bit. And then we in the Central Illinois District are going to do a Facebook Live program on Saturday mornings from 9:30 until 10 o'clock Central Daylight Time. And we're going to kind of look back over that week's lesson before the next Monday comes and the next lesson starts. So this will be starting, as you said, on Monday, May 4th. And you'll be able to log on to the CPH website and get the daily lessons. And then you'll be able to come to this Central Illinois District Facebook page and get our wrap-ups on Saturday mornings.
Learn more about Dr. Ken Sherb's daily virtual Bible study, Bringing the Gospel to the Ends of the Earth, Paul's Missionary Journeys, at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Talk on Demand. Archives. Dr. Ken Sherb has a PhD in church history from Ohio State University. He's director of evangelism and missions, stewardship and human care for the Central Illinois District of the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod. He formerly served as a theology professor at Concordia University, Ann Arbor, Michigan, and as an assistant to the president of the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod. Ken, thanks.
My pleasure, Todd. Thank you.
When we come back, we're going to talk about an AP story about military chaplains pivoting to deal with the coronavirus breakout. How do shutdowns, stay-at-home orders, and social distancing translate into the military environment, and how are military families at home being affected? We'll be talking with Chaplain Craig Miller, Director of LCMS Ministry to the Armed Forces. Prayers for anxiety, assurance, forgiveness, plagues, sickness. The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for April contains more than 500 prayers that cover almost any situation. It's titled Lutheran Prayer Companion. Browse before you buy at issuesetc.org or find out more and purchase Lutheran Prayer Companion by calling Concordia Publishing House weekdays during regular business hours, 1-800-325-3040. The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for April, Lutheran Prayer Companion.
The world around us is laser-focused on the fear of death and disease. The April issue of the Lutheran Witness has the answer, Jesus and His resurrection. In this issue of the Lutheran Witness, Dr. Adam Francisco answers objections to the resurrection. The Reverend Sean Danzer discusses resurrection hymnody, and there's so much more. If you're worried about death, then take the opportunity to read about life in Jesus and His resurrection. Visit cph.org/witness to subscribe today. The Lutheran Witness, interpreting the world from a Lutheran perspective. cph.org/witness.
Your daily Lutheran Bible class. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Concordia University Chicago is committed to keeping college affordable for all, and especially for LCMS Lutherans. We have scholarships available specifically for students who are LCMS members. This is Dr. Russell Dawn, president of Concordia Chicago, asking you to encourage your student to check out Concordia Chicago at cuchicago.edu. And if you are interested in supporting these scholarships, please find us online at foundation@cuchicago.edu.
Lutheran Federal Credit Union serves the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod community with car and personal loans, mortgages, credit cards, checking and savings accounts. Lutheran FCU supports LCMS organizations with its Spotlight Ministry program, and Lutheran Federal Credit Union allows you to make purchases with Apple Pay, Google Pay, and Samsung Pay using your digital wallet. Learn more at LutheranFCU.org. Good for you, good for the church, Lutheran Federal Credit Union, LutheranFCU.org.
Lutheran Talk.
We have an ecumenical responsibility to hold forth the Scriptures and to bear witness to grace alone, faith alone, Christ alone.
Lutheran music.
Listen anytime, anywhere in 2020 with the Lutheran Public Radio mobile app. Download for iPhone, Android, and Kindle at issuesetc.org.
The Substitute Organist Service, aptly abbreviated SOS, really has come to our rescue.
Pastor Jim Hollowatch of Christ Lutheran Church in Jackson, Mississippi.
With the ever-growing shortage of skilled musicians in our community, we were approaching a real crisis. But thanks to the Substitute Organist Service, help is always just minutes away. With its easy, intuitive interface, friendly customer service, and outstanding musicianship, you really couldn't ask for more.
You can find out more about the Substitute Organist Service at churchmusicsolutions.com.